Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Are you guys ready for Fat Mascara?
I'm ready.
I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
We've got a great episode for you.
I know, I'm very excited about this one.
Before I share the guest, what topic shall we discuss today?
We have a few biggies on deck, all right? We're going to recap the Fragrance Foundation Awards, which I'm still recovering from. Can you smell me? I still kind of like...
I thought that was my pits, to be honest.
No, no.
That was last week's episode, sorry.
I smell very floral and expensive right now. Then we're going to answer a listener question about all things blonde. And then we're going to talk about the Estee Edit. No mas. No more.
No mas Estee Edit.
Mm-mm.
Our guest is Ms. Ursula Stevens, celebrity hairstylist extraordinaire. I just have to say it. Her biggest client is my one and only, you know, Miss Riri, who, by the way, might be preggers. Did we get Ursula to talk about it? You're going to have to listen.
All right, so guys, I haven't seen Jen in 2 weeks. This is probably the longest I haven't seen you in probably 4 years.
I know, and then I saw you coming out of the taxi, and I was like, oh my gosh, you have long hair already. Like, within 2 weeks, you got long hair.
I did get a shipment of Sugar Bear hair. Thank you! And they actually sent stickers with it, too, which I'll probably post because they're the coolest stickers. That's the new thing. Brands are sending stickers with their merchandise. Milk does it. Glossier does it. Sugar Bear hair does it. But yeah. I've been downing Sugar Bear hair. And I've got long hair for the summer. Convenient.
Convenient.
So I can have long hair. Yeah. It's a good time to grow my hair.
Not what this segment's about, though, right?
No. We're going to talk about the Fragrance Foundation Awards, which I was repping Fat Mascara.
Thank you. I'm sorry I missed it.
It was great. I was sad because it was Elizabeth Musmano's last Fragrance Foundation Awards. She's moving on, as she talked about in her episode. It was a very glamorous event at Lincoln Center.
What did you wear?
I wore a Marchesa Notte dress.
Ooh la la.
It's not mine.
Did you walk on the carpet and like step and repeat?
I did not go on the step and repeat. I was more like leering at the people at the step and repeat.
I never do, even when they ask you to. I'm just like, oh, I don't know what to do here.
Step, Debbie Mazar repeat. Was there with her date Edward Bess.
Younger is coming back on TV. I love her in that.
I love that show.
Okay.
But It was fun. Joe McHale was there, and he was really, I felt like he was ribbing the industry a little bit more than previous hosts. Like, Alec Baldwin kind of plays the game, makes a couple of, like, gentle jokes, a lot of them, like, at his expense or, like, about the government or something.
Yeah.
Joe McHale was really going for it. And I wonder if people found it funny. If anybody in the business or who was there has any thoughts on that, please email me or tweet me, because I felt like he was really going hard.
I mean, it's the Oscars of fragrance. Yeah. It's inherently corny in a way.
Yes, but he was, I felt like he was going kind of hard. I was laughing, but I don't know if other people found it as funny.
You know what? I need to recap, though, because I actually was the judge for one of the categories for the indie fragrances. And I kept asking who won, because I know who I voted for. And I didn't go online to check. So did you take notes for me?
I can tell you who won.
Okay, I'm really excited.
Outrageous, Simply Divine.
Oh, sorry, Anna Vreeland's.
Yes. Why do you sound disappointed?
Because bottles played into it. When we were voting, you had to give a score for both the bottle and appearance and the fragrance. Mm-hmm. And I feel like their bottle score was definitely...
The bottles are gorgeous.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Not my cup of tea. Very floral.
I don't really see you as... I mean...
Not my flaws of flowers, yeah. If you will.
obviously, they're all different juices for all the Vreeland fragrances, but I don't really see you responding to that line.
Okay, but I can see them winning. What else won?
I was really happy that the Consumer Choice Hall of Fame Award went to Victoria's Secret Heavenly, which is my favorite out of all the Victoria's Secret scents, which they have like 4,000. I'm not a huge VS fragrance.
I believe 4,000 is the exact accurate number. Thank you for that.
I mean, they have so many flankers, and they must have a different flanker, you know, edition every single, you know, season or even month. I'm just not the consumer for that, but Victoria's Secret Heavenly, I actually did wear.
Then, yeah.
It's a gorgeous fragrance. Tom Ford cleaned up with 3 awards. Joe Malone cleaned up with three
Tom
awards.
Tom Ford was the La La Land of the Oscars.
Yes, and Joe McHale made a really funny dig, as he said, he's like, maybe after his third win and somebody from the company came to pick up the award, he's like, maybe next time Tom Ford will show up. And then he's like, John Varvatos did.
And like,
John Varvatos won two fragrances. John Varvatos showed up.
Oh, I know his fragrance with like a little netting around it.
Yeah, they all like, one is like a motorcycle jacket, actually has leather around it with a zip. One has, you know, like basket weaving around it. And I can, like, seriously, hand on heart, I think John Varvatos men's fragrances are better than any other men's fragrances out there.
You hear that, Mr. Ford? Stop making movies and show up to the damn Fragrance Foundation Awards. What else were you happy to hear about?
There were a lot of funny moments. I think people, they don't take it too seriously. Or I mean, some people take it very seriously, but some people also realize it's like a fun night to hang with people. So the funniest moment, I think, of the night for me, or the most memorable, was when they were reading the nominees for Indie Fragrance of the Year.
Okay.
And Heretic, if I'm saying that right.
Heretic,
they announced it. I heard this blood-curdling but kind of enthusiastic scream from like a row or two
from a Heretic.
And I realized it was Douglas Little, who is the perfumer creator of the brand. And he was like screaming for, you know, just kind of like giving a shout out. Like,
to himself.
Yes, but he's such a kind of cool, you know, it's a unique guy. Like, he's one of a kind.
Good. Like, don't take yourself too seriously.
He didn't take it seriously. And he looked like I could see his cheeks kind of smiling, like, aww, the silhouette. And I was like, that is, like, he is so passionate. And he just screamed so loudly. It was like, it was like a jolt of energy in the entire
And everybody
Lincoln
was
Center.
Probably all stuffy.
Yes.
And then,
I think I was smiling for, like, the next 20 minutes. And I like, Instagrammed him the next day. I was like, was that you? And he was like, oh, my God, I just, like, screamed in my apartment or something. He did the DL and Co candles, that very goth line from about 10 years ago. He's a genius, and he works with tons of other brands, and he has his own line. So I'm sorry he didn't win, but I think he like won the night in my book, because I'll remember that for years.
You sounds like you had a blast. I'm a little bit jealous.
I wish you were there. Next year we'll go together.
Next year at the Fifi's, or we don't call them that anymore.
Oh, and Joe McHale pointed that out too.
Oh, thanks. So.
Yeah, he pointed. Yeah, he was
next
out
year,
for blood.
Fat Mascara hosts.
Yes. Oh, Elizabeth, call us. Jen, we've got some listener mail.
Wait, we get a sound for this. It's coming across the wires because we're in 1943, apparently.
So Alexia emailed us at info@fatmascara.com.
You too can do that, listeners.
Send all of your beauty questions. We will do our best to read them on the air. And she wants to know, she has silvery white blonde hair. She says over time it turns yellow, but only at the roots. The same thing happens to her friend with honey blonde hair. Basically, what is going on with all the pale blondes of the world? And they're using purple shampoo. They're doing their best, but their blonde just keeps turning. What is happening? What can they do?
I did a little research.
Oh, thanks.
Because usually people just ask about yellow all over, and that, you know, it's probably oxidizing, right?
Yeah.
So it's getting brassier.
But what's up? It's just at the roots.
The
band
at the roots. So I talked to Mary-Kate O'Connor, who is actually my colorist at Eva Scrivo Salon, and she said, okay, two things could be going on. First of all, if she has, like, brown hair and she's trying to go all the way to that silvery platinum, you have to use bleach, right? It's probably the bleach wasn't processing long enough. So it lifted enough color that it got yellow, but not all the way to white. However, the colorist might have done that on purpose, is what Mary-Kate said.
Okay.
Lifted it as much as she could because she didn't want to break the hair.
Oh.
Then toned it to the silvery color. So she lifted it to a pale yellow, toned it to the silvery white. Then maybe 2 to 3 weeks later, when it starts to go yellow, that's actually just the toner rinsing
fading
out.
And
what she's seeing is the color that it was bleached to. And so immediately I was like, well, then she needs a new colorist because they're making a mistake. They need to leave the dye on longer. And Mary-Kate was like, well, that's possible. But she's like, I have done that because I don't want to damage or break off someone with really dark hair by bleaching all the way to the white. Because if you bleach all the way to the white, you could break the hair.
So she might have to, like, buzz her head.
Right. So it's – she should go back when that happens. She should immediately go back to her colorist and be like, oh, is it – you know, do I need my toner again? It might just be that she needs toner. She might not even have to pay again.
Oh. Okay,
that
that's
was
really
Mary
interesting.
Kate's hypothesis. The other thing is it still could be oxidizing, just maybe only in that strip of newly dyed root hair, in which case you want to use the blue purple shampoo. And I said, well, this listener does. And she said, have you ever noticed there are different variations of the blue purple shampoos?
Yeah.
Like R&Co has one, but it's like a very pale lavender, whereas like Clairol Shimmer Lights from back in the day is like blue.
People really like the Clairol Shimmer Lights, though. People are diehard
about
that.
Yeah, so she's saying maybe this woman's shampoo isn't blue enough.
Mm.
And she recommended, hold on, I wrote it down, Shu Uemura Luster at Home Glaze in Purple, because it's not just like a bluish purple shampoo conditioner. It's literally like an at-home glaze. So she's in a way like doing her own version of the toning.
That's a great, great tip.
Yeah, the other one, and she said she was a little bit hesitant, is called Manic Panic Virgin Snow. But that's not even a gloss or a toner. That's actual, like, blue dye diluted. So you have to be really careful because you could end up dyeing your hair like...
Yeah.
You don't want to be like Marge Simpson walking around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
People say that. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, Mary-Kate's good advice. And her friend with the blonde hair, probably same idea happening. Though, if she's not going all the way to platinum, I'm guessing more that would be a colorist error.
Okay. We can't solve everyone's problems.
No,
here today
and with
at
the color
mascara.
Questions, especially with color and hair questions, it so depends on...
Yeah.
Like, don't shop around. Go back to your colors. Explain what you didn't like. Like, she wants to know so she can try and fix it before you go testing out a billion other colorists,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, don't give up so easily. Alexia, let us know how you get on, and good luck. Jen, the beauty world was in a tizzy while you were away.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I was on vacation.
On vacation. Well, you were on a business trip?
Yes,
in Switzerland. On a big girl business trip?
I brought the Instagram followers along on my spa journey, by the way.
Yeah, are you guys following our Instagram?
Because you can see Jen go into a freezing room and then a sauna afterwards. Not naked. It was totally PG. Okay, so while I was away, what happened?
Well, we were, A, missing you, but B, the beauty world was gripped by the story of Estée Edit closing.
Oh, that's big news, but I was like, oh my God, what happens? No, that's big news.
That is really big news because I remember just a couple of years ago going to the event for Estée Edit. The blogger Irene Kim was there. They had about like 75 SKUs, it seemed like, you know, all the different products.
But they never made it super big. So if, for people who don't know, it was like, I called it like the juniors line of Estee Lauder.
The juniors
right?
line?
Yeah, it was like
the
juniors,
Macy's juniors line.
The 579 of Estee Lauder.
Oh my God, that store, that was horrible.
I know, what if you weren't
5'7"? I wasn't 5'7"9". I was like a 12/14 and I did not make me feel good. Anyway, triggering.
Sidebar. So, trigger warning.
Trigger warning 5'7"9". So,
anyways, the junior back to, line of Estee Lauder, positioned slightly
diffusion line.
Diffusion, okay. Positioned slightly younger and faced, repped by
Irene Kim and Kendall Jenner. Yeah. But the thing was, there are two parts of the story, I think. A, this, it came out really before, like just a hair before Kylie Jenner got big.
Right.
You know, it was like right as she was emerging. So this was like, you know, the younger the Jenner's line. And B, it was like, this is our social media inspired line, and it's co-created with these girls who really get social. It's like,
yeah,
Instagram inspired. I remember, yeah, writing about it for Cosmo, and it was like, Kendall Jenner, you know, does face masks. So, like, we're doing face masks. I know, yeah, it really feels like it was a million years ago. And she co-created this palette, and we were doing blurring creams because it's all about the Instagram generation. And it does feel like it's of another time.
I have a theory now. It just came to me.
What's the theory?
As I'm learning this in real time and processing. It's funny because Estee has been on a bit of a buying spree this year. And who have they been buying? Estee Lauder Company's parent company, like Too Faced, which does that very well, social media inspired palettes and such. And they also just bought Deciem. So maybe they figured, I don't know if this is true, by the way, like, rather than put all of our efforts into building a brand which takes so much money, which is hard to do, to find that perfect thing, let's buy brands that do this well and have them be part of our stable.
Mm-hmm.
Did they give a reason for...
Well, here's what they had to say. They said Estee Lauder created the Estee Edit collection for Sephora because it was exclusive to Sephora. I think abroad they had their own store or something like that. They say, after a year of valuable insights and learnings, we have decided that a separate brand in North America dedicated to recruiting millennials is no longer necessary.
Listen, anybody that says recruiting millennials does not know the millennial customer, by the way. Okay, so they admit that it wasn't necessary.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I feel like, oh yeah, they also acquired Becca. That's another big thing.
Yeah, and they have like, didn't they do the Jaclyn Hill palette?
Mm-hmm,
my
mm-hmm.
theory's playing out.
Yes.
Hmm.
I think that, you know, people kind of see through that, like, this is the young, funky line. Like, it had spray paint on it. It had, like, scribble.
And names that were, like, you know, filter or selfie. Like, remember what, it just felt like your mom was trying to, like.
Yeah, it was.
Not Estee Lauder, but, like, whenever your mom's, like, trying to be, like.
You can have, here's
whatever
your version.
Whatever the kids are saying today, like,
yeah,
I'm woke or whatever the hell.
But also, you know,
bear in mind that was somebody's mom, not mine and not me.
But I think, like, Kylie Jenner really backs her line. It feels, okay, here's another, you just said woke, I'm going to, you know, dust off the old, that old chestnut.
I see you're woke,
ready.
And I'll raise you.
Yeah, I will raise you and authentic.
Okay.
It was not authentic. I keep get them so confused. Then that shows where my head is at. Kylie Jenner, that lip thing, her whole lip empire, whether I'm not into it, but it feels authentic to her. She clearly is all about those lips, you know? It's on her Snapchat. She promotes it every, you know, second of the day.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, the lips with her. Kendall Jenner, I saw her in the ads, and then she was gone. And then she was in the Estee Lauder, the big mama Estee Lauder.
Yeah, in the
But I've never seen her push this in my life.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was, all the pieces didn't add up. It was nice product, it really was, but it didn't feel authentic. And
she just put air quotes on that, rightfully so. But yeah.
It felt like
people see through that.
Dressing.
Also, it was a little pricey, I thought, for if it's going to be the diffusion line.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Lovely quality. And by the way, I just previewed some new Victoria Beckham for Estee Lauder products. I think some of their great formulations that they did for Estee Edit are making their way into Bex's, or what do people call her? Posh? I don't know.
I think she doesn't like Posh anymore. She resents that title.
I got to hang out with her a little bit.
Tell me more.
She was posh. No, she was actually really cool, and she knows her stuff. But these formulas, like really pigmented eyeshadows, and like a glitter gloss that you would actually wear that, like, on your eyes that didn't look sparkly and gross. And she was joking about how she spent her life in, like, sparkle on stage, so she knows glitter better than anyone. They have great formulas at Estee Lauder, and better to use them in an authentic line where someone's obviously involved and, like, really owning it than plastering a face.
I mean, look what she did with fashion. I think I said this before, but, like, I think Victoria Beckham will be, just like how Tom Ford was, like, you know, micro collections for Estee Lauder, Victoria Beckham will be a stable line in Estee Lauder.
They're good at that.
Soon.
Do that.
Yeah.
And then buy Becca and Too Faced if you want the Gen
the junior set.
The 5-7. I'm not saying it. I'm just kidding.
I am so happy to have Ursula Steven back in the house. We had her for our amazing panel in September, but now we have her all by herself. We wanted some one-on-one time with Ursula. She is a celebrity hairstylist. She has too many clients for me to count, but I'm just going to just rattle off a few. Rihanna, Kerry Washington, Mary J. Blige, amazing, Jordan Dunn, Serena Williams, Laverne Cox. It's just getting exhausting.
The list is so long.
That made me sound really, you know, legit.
You are so legit. Like, you are beyond legit.
I literally forget the clients I have sometimes, and people ask me, I'm like,
did I do her
hair? I have to think about it sometimes, so that feels good to hear it.
It's ridiculous. Basically, you've done everyone's hair, and everyone wants you to do their hair. You wrote something really, well, first of all, I love following you on Instagram and your Twitter. You actually use Twitter in a really good way, because a lot of people are pretty lazy about their Twitter, and I feel like you write some funny stuff.
I started to get lazy, but now I'm coming out of my laziness. So no, I'm like, okay.
Please get back on it because you're really funny.
Thank you.
But you wrote something really funny on your Instagram, and you said, let me know when y'all tired of looking alike. And I thought that you just gave the shade of it all. And it felt really fitting for you because you create these really memorable, I don't say signature, because you're always, it's not like someone gets locked into one of your hairstyles. Yeah. You just always push people out of their comfort zones.
Ooh, good way
and
to say that.
Give people a hairstyle that it's like, oh my God, that is good. Who did that hair? And then we Google it, or, you know, we see, you know, the credits like after the award show. It's always you.
Aww.
So what have been some of your favorites? I'm going to let you talk about it rather than rattling
some of my
off.
Favorite red carpet looks to do or to watch.
That you've done on your clients.
Oh, wow. I have a couple. Laverne, I had, I think it was maybe People's Choice. She had a white dress on. Don't remember. It might have been, it was one of our first, no, not People's Choice. It was maybe SAG Awards. Yeah. It was one of, whatever award show it was her first. And it was also our first together.
So this is when Laverne like first came out on a big award show?
Yeah, she had a white dress on, the back was out, and I did like a braid across the top. That was fun.
So she was out of the orange jumpsuit for
And that was one of my favorite looks. More recently, I did something with Mary in the south of France. And I kind of, Mary's very used to wearing her hair like really, very coiffed and off her face and curled. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know what? I want to do something straight. Let's make it a little edgy and young it up. She had this beautiful gown on, and I feel like I like the whole opposite thing, like the, you know, the high end, low end, or wearing like a super couture gown with like maybe like cornrows. I love that whole oxymoron. So I just said, you know what, let's just go straight, and we did it, and she really loved it. So that's like one of my like recent
faves. That
gets
into like, I always wonder how you come up with these image changing kind of moments with hair. Like if it's Rihanna and now she's got a bob, is it always because, hey, that outfit called for it, or is it more like, we're bored, let's do something fun?
And just to be clear, you gave her that bob that everyone saw her, like you took her from the kind of, I don't know, not to say like a teen star, but like a pop star.
Oh, yeah,
star.
Back in the day.
Yes.
Well, you took her from, you took her from that, you know, she had those flowing waves, and she was very like pretty.
Everybody, when you're all looking alike.
She looked pretty. But that was kind of it. I mean, she looked
like record company
hair.
But she
didn't look cool.
Basically.
And then suddenly she had that really angled bob, and you're the one who did that.
Yeah.
So maybe I should have like led off with that, but I feel like you were being modest. You gave Rihanna like that bad bitch look.
I did. I am.
Thank you.
That's me. That's
was
me.
It strategic? Like, we need to break you out of the show.
I think it was. Well, back to answering your question, it's a sprinkle of everything. It's a sprinkle of me being bored, me seeing what the outfit looks like and want to kind of make a statement. You know, it's a little bit of everything, but I think at that time with Ree, it was definitely a matter of both of us being bored. Like, and you know,
she was bored too.
She was bored, tried looking like everyone else, and it was time for
a new
project.
She's like, I don't want to sing this umbrella song anymore.
Yeah, and you know, when your project comes out, you kind of want to make a statement. You want people to listen and look. So it was, everything was just happening together. So it was a little bit of everything. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So How do you think, I mean, we're rattling off that huge roster of clients, and I didn't even scratch the surface. You're obviously super talented. Like, that's not in question. But how do you think you've amassed this big roster? Is it your skills? Is it a little something extra? You're very funny.
You like had Laverne. Wouldn't you love to know my little secret?
I know. I know.
Like, when you brought Laverne on, was she like, I like what you did with so-and-so, so that's why I want to hire you?
Well, I started working with Laverne. The first job I had with Laverne was the cover of Essence magazine, and it was her and maybe a few other actresses. I can't remember right now who else it was, but some really good actresses, like Alfre Woodard, I think, was on it. Denai Guerra. It was a whole bunch of them on the cover, and everybody had their own glam. We just meshed, and I turned her hair out, and she loved it, and she literally booked me. She had something coming up the next week, and she booked me, and that was all she wrote.
Did she already come with her own glam?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was her glam. Okay. When you do like a group shot, if you see a cover, any type of editorial, and it's like five actresses on it, or, you know, whether it's male or female, everyone has hair, makeup, and wardrobe.
They come with their own teams.
Well, not necessarily. A magazine will find people and pair people up who they think would work well with them. So they put me on her.
Okay.
And we just hit it off from the first day, and that was it. And I've just been working with her for like the last maybe 2 or 3 years now.
Now, you, in addition to having all these clients, you also have a salon in Brooklyn, which I just think is so awesome.
Like, I didn't even know that. When I saw that question, I was like, how does she do this all?
This is insane. Okay, so the logistics of it aside, the fact that you have a salon just, you know, is beyond. Can any old person just walk in, or do you have to be like a friend of Laverne's, a friend of Riri's? Like, how do we get it?
No, it's open for everyone. Everyone who walks into my salon is a celebrity. I work
is that
behind
the tag
trademark.
I know,
no,
Steven.
It's absolutely true. Everybody who comes in, we treat them the same, and we take walk-ins, we take appointments. I take clients. It's just a lot difficult for me because I travel so much. So when I decided to open the salon, I knew that the success of my salon couldn't be based on me being there because I'm still busy with my freelance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons why I wanted to open it anyway is because I'm very invested in my industry. And I wanted to be, you know, the saying goes, there are no bad students, they're only bad teachers. Mm-hmm. So I really feel invested in my industry. And I felt like if I'm going to open a salon, obviously it can't be, you know, like I said, based on me being there. But I want to have a home for great stylists to come and have a great place to work, a great place to learn, and to really be a good positive impact on my industry. So
you want to give back to other stylists?
Yeah, of course, of course.
What was your experience in beauty school like?
Beauty school was fun. It was great. That's where I learned. Mm-hmm. But my salon experiences were so weird and wacky and zany
that I knew.
Well, I worked when I was in high school. I started doing here in high school. Mm-hmm. My beauty school was a high school. It was a vocational high school downtown.
And you're in Brooklyn?
Yeah, in Brooklyn. So I worked in salons after school and on the weekends. So when I've been working at salons for years. I know them inside and out. So one of the first major salons that I worked at was owned by a bunch of guys. Great business mind, but they didn't know shit about hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So knowing that, it's like I felt like, you know what? And when I left them, I was like, I really don't want to work at another salon that's not owned by a...
Yeah.
The owner has to be a hairstylist, put it that way. You can't just think that I have this bright idea, I'm going to make all this money and get all these girls to do hair and go. It doesn't work like that. To do hair and to be great at it and to be successful, you have to have a passion for it. Mm-hmm. It's not a money-making thing. You're going to make lots of money if you're good, obviously, but that can't be your only, you know, motivation about it. So with that being said, I knew that I want to open a great salon for girls to feel comfortable and know that I understand your pain. I'm a hairstylist.
Right.
I've been there. I know it's annoying sit here all day and have one client, but don't worry. This is part of the game, you know?
Okay, you also are in all the magazines. Everybody's always interviewing you. Mm-hmm. We talk about trends. You probably get annoyed because you're like, there's no trend.
What is that?
Let me let you ask the question first before I answer.
No, tell me. I was actually going to ask it at one point.
Like, that is like the most hated question.
Right.
It's like
why?
The most
what's
annoying
the
question. Like,
what's the trend?
Because obviously, you know, there's always something new because, you know, I have to give love to my industry. But at the same time, it's 2017. What's really new? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think what really is the The thing is that we're doing everything right now and better. So we're still doing pixies, we're still doing color, we're still doing highlights, mm-hmm. but the industry has evolved so much that everything is so much better now. It's better technology, mm-hmm. our tools are better, the hair extensions are better. Mm-hmm. So I think we've just evolved, and whatever we've been doing, we're just doing it greatly now.
Okay, but you can't deny, even looking at the numbers, that texture in the last couple of years has become, if you want to say trendy, I don't even think it's trendy. I think it's a shift, a movement that women...
A shift.
There is.
It's a movement. It's definitely a movement.
Women who relax the hair, less of them are relaxing.
Yes.
Even women who don't have naturally textured hair are embracing their waves and curls.
Yeah.
Why do you think that came about in the last, like, what do you think it is, like 2 years-ish?
I think it's the knowledge. The industry just got better. We got, like I said, everything is better. Our technology is better. Our products, our tools are better. So what we didn't have 10 years ago... we have now. So now girls who had really coarse hair or really kinky hair and couldn't handle it before because we didn't have the tool or we didn't have the product, now we have it. So now it's giving women an opportunity to embrace their natural texture. And I think mm-hmm. it's a great thing. I don't think it's a trend, though.
Right.
It's not a trend. Mm-hmm. It's an actual movement. Mm-hmm. Those girls are not really going to go back to relaxers. What's the point?
Once you've learned how to do your hair.
Yeah, once you've learned how to do your hair and figured out you can be versatile and you can do this and you can do that. You don't need to do it. So I think it's definitely a movement. It's a really big movement. I think it's a great movement.
Okay, so with this new technology, new products and everything like that, what about the transitioning? Has that gotten better? Because I still hear from so many women that that's the hump to get over.
I think the transition period is getting better, but it's always going to be a hump.
Yeah. What do you tell people to do?
Condition.
Yeah.
Condition, because if you're transitioning from having a relaxer to natural, you have to consider that demarcation line in between the natural hair and the relaxed hair.
Yeah.
And that line is very weak. You have two different textures that are still
bonded. Have you ever seen it, like, break off at that line?
Yes, yes. Oof, so that's the thing. So it's a matter of just really paying attention to your line and what products are perfect for you and your hair type. You know what I mean? What may work for one natural girl may not work for the other one. But the transition period is becoming easy. It's not easy, but it's becoming easier.
Is there like a go-to conditioner that like everybody that comes in your chair who's working through that process is going to be using this? Or depends on the girl?
It depends on the girl. Mm-hmm. I change it up a little bit depending on, you know, and that's the thing. People don't realize that everything starts at the sink. That's the foundation. You have to have a great shampoo, conditioner.
Or at home at the shower.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. You know, everything that happens at the foundation is that a good shampoo, you want to make sure that hair is soft and pliable before you decide to do anything else to it. Because once it dries, then it's a problem.
Do you think it has to be a salon shampoo? Do you think there's a difference between the drugstore and the salon stuff?
I think there is a difference. It's the big difference is the quality, you know what I mean? The price point. But you still can find great things that are inexpensive, especially if you're going for like conditioners. And, you know, moisturizer, you can find it. It's just a matter of, you know,
tell us the drugstore pick. What's the drugstore pick?
My drugstore pick right now. What's my drugstore pick?
Or it's like a good, like, mask or something.
I have so many. I like the Suave stuff. The Suave and the Dove stuff is really good.
Do you like the Suave stuff in, like, the goldish packaging?
Yes.
I knew
that's the professional stuff. I like the blow-dry lotion. That is amazing. Because it's a good detangler. It softens and it conditions. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Yeah.
And it's not heavy. And even though I'm a big fan of creamy stuff. I don't like stuff that you just spray and like kind of like mist into the air because I'm like, where is it?
Where'd it go?
Like,
it went on the sink.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I like the fact that the Suave blow dry lotion is a spray out, but it's also heavy. So you see where it lands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's soft and it's creamy. I like that.
You've spoken about hair in an interesting way or I think a really modern way. When you talk about hair, you've said hair is hair. You don't talk about it in like, if you have, you know, black hair, if you have Caucasian hair, if you have Asian hair, which when I interview other hairstylists, they do talk about it in those terms. Do you feel like, you know, you have been really purposeful about that?
Well, let me start by saying that I still do say black hair, white hair. You know, it's like short term sometimes. Like in my world, like if I'm telling my assistant, oh, she's a white girl, she has this hair, you know, just so she can know.
Yeah.
But when you take it back and really get into the professional side of things and the common sense of things, it really is just hair. Yes, we have different cultures and different, you know, from different countries. Asian hair is different. It's a lot stronger. It's a lot straighter. But at the end of the day, it really is a scale of being from straight to coarse.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Do you think that...
You get what I'm saying? So think about if a white girl and a black man have a baby.
You might get
any kind of hair. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? It's not black hair. It's not white hair.
Right.
At this point, now you have to really look at the texture.
Right.
It doesn't matter if the mother is black or the father is white. You're looking at the texture to figure out what's going to work.
White mother and father and have black hair on your head.
Exactly.
Like that.
So, yeah. You know, so that, like Jewish that's hair, my thing.
Like, it's like kinky, curly cores.
Yeah. I don't have that as much, but like a lot of people in my family, they're Jewish and they don't have like silky right. hair. It's
coarser. It's curly. Yeah.
So, you know, I think the way, you know, to talk about it like that is a much more modern way, but the hair industry has gotten themselves into like a little bit of a pickle when talking about products.
Yeah,
it's like in that way.
Weirdly segregated at the aisle.
And that's where those jabs come from, because it's like, come on. Yeah. Let's figure this out. Let's understand what it really is, and you know, and that's also for me saying to other professionals, like, you go on set and you run from the hair that's coarse and kinky because you haven't learned about it, but this is your profession. It's still hair.
Do you think that some hairstylists still don't know how to deal with certain types of hair?
Yes, of course.
So what's up with that? Is it they're not learning that in beauty school, or where is that gap? Where is that happening?
Well, I think one of the gaps could be beauty school, because when you go to beauty school, you mainly learn on straight hair. So if you're going to beauty school and you want to be a hairstylist and you're only learning on that hair, you learn this in school, you only learn how to do the roller set, the curl, the cut, everything on straight hair.
Yeah.
And then you go out into the field and you're faced with another texture, you're going to be afraid.
Have you really seen people on set, like that is an image of someone on set
not
being able to work on hair that is not like straight white hair?
Yes, I see that.
Like,
I mean,
because you're working in, like, you know, like A-list environments
with
the top people, and this is still happening.
Yeah, I've seen it happen, or they're doing it, but you could tell they're not comfortable with the way they handle their hair. You know what I mean? They just don't know. Yeah. And it's not that I'm saying they're wrong or you know, it's horrible. I just feel like that's what's happening. They're just not learning on it.
Yeah.
So why I'm so people look at me and like, oh my God, you can do all hair types, because I learned on straight hair, and I grew up with my own hair, so there was no gap for me. I understood it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned on straight hair. So I think that maybe it has to start with the schools. They have to really start incorporating different textures and teaching it.
Yeah. You have, again, like some of the most creative work that, you know, in hair. But sometimes I'm like, where the hell did she think of that? Like some of like, you know, the green, the red wig for, well, you did a red wig for Rihanna too,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did red.
The green wig for Rihanna, red wig for Rihanna. Where do you come up with this stuff? Where do you get your inspiration?
Everywhere.
Like, do you go on special trips, or do you just like, does it come to you in the shower?
I mean, I think I do have a creative mind, so I also think of ways to do things differently. Like, I feel like if I get tired of seeing a top knot, I'm like, all right, I don't mind a top knot, but can we have another shape? I just like to see, I like to be refreshed and see something different. So I just take it from everywhere. Like, I travel a lot.
Yeah.
I travel overseas. I'm always in like places like Japan and London and Paris and even just those things will just open up your brain in a different way. Just seeing how people take on fashion and hair and style, and it's different all over the world. Traveling, you know, New York City, just walking around New York City.
This is a nerdy question, but like, where do you keep your inspiration? Do you have like a special board? Do you have like a wall at home? I just wonder where
I have this board. Board. I have a secret board.
I do have a book that I do sketch in sometime, and I always keep it with me.
Oh, you
because
sketch.
I may think of something and I may want to write it down. I don't sketch as often. I only sketch when I visualize something. That's the only time I can really
cool.
do it.
Like,
I can't
almost
just sit
like
there
fashion,
and draw a hairstyle.
Like a fashion designer would, like if they had a dress idea.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Or if I know a big gig is coming up, like something like Met Ball, and I know I have to think outside the box, I really will go to the museum and look around and see what's happening and just open up my brain. I do that a lot. Go to the museum.
Because it's like sculpture sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you go by yourself, or you bring an assistant
or
something?
No, by myself. I don't. I'm a loner. I'm like an extrovert, introvert kind of person.
What do you mean?
So I'm good around people, but when I need my time, I'm really good being alone.
Oh, like, Jen and I talk. We're like that.
Yeah,
too.
I like to be alone. I really love to be alone. Mm-hmm. It's fun to be around people. I love that, but I know my limit, and I know
when
I'm over it. You know what I mean? I like.
You
all
get
right,
tired.
That.
You're like too much with the people. I need.
Yeah.
Ursula's going to leave
like
in 2 minutes.
No, I really do like to. I like to be alone, and I think those are the times when I get creative and I think of things when I'm in my own space.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Let's talk
Depends.
About some things you don't like.
No,
I was thinking about this. Like, people sit down in your chair. Is there anything that, like, a woman or a client, whether famous or not, would do to her hair where you're like, why did you do that? Like, what can you do to piss Ursula off?
I don't like when people come to me with extensions that someone else did.
and they want you to style them.
Yeah,
and you don't even get a fresh start.
I have to fix them or do them. That's not my thing. I don't like that.
Do you have a specific technique for putting them in, and that's why? Or
yes, I have my own technique in the way I want to do it. What? So it's like when I have to work around somebody else's work, it's kind of annoying to have to do that. But the thing about that is I always kill it, and then the client feels like, okay, it worked. You know what I mean? But not really. Like I had to do. It's like surgery, really. Or putting a puzzle together and not even knowing what the puzzle is supposed to, what the outcome is.
You have to
is.
Do like a diagnostic test.
Exactly. So I don't like that. Don't do that.
I'm just curious now what your go-to, I'm sure it changes for every girl, but like what your go-to extension like technique is. Are we talking sewing or are you some, and you don't glue, do you?
I mean, I do glue. My technique changes depending on what look I'm going for.
Oh, okay.
And some girls are very like, some girls are like, oh, I don't want any glue because it makes my hair fall out. And I'm like,
but if you're doing something
that's
super
the worst
smooth,
thing you can tell me too. Because if you're doing something super smooth, you want it to be seamless at the top.
Uh-huh. Right.
So I always like to bond. I like to bond for that. Okay. If I'm doing like a full head and somebody wants a whole new look, like say if you want to like Ursula, I just want to bob and I don't want to cut my hair, sew it all up. I'm going to braid it all up, stitch it on.
That's
so
cool.
It all depends on what you're going for.
Is there ever a mix? Because I heard like Beyonce doesn't have. Like, she has, like, a weft here and a thing. Like, it's not one
It definitely
thing.
Is a mix. I do mixes, too.
Okay, so I've always been curious about this. What's the most amount of money that could be on a woman's head, do you think?
Oh. Lots of money.
Like, give us a ballpark.
Like, you have to buy it for them. They're not coming
A really good custom, not, like, any regular lace front or just whatever from the beauty supply. A custom lace front wig could cost you between $6,000 and $10,000.
Do you have your, like, go-to person that makes them for you?
Yes. He's hard to find, and I finally tracked him down. But, And a lot of the girls...
Is he a secret source? Like, you keep him...
Kind of like a secret source, if you know him, you know him. If not, then it's kind of like, you know, one of those things. And I had to, like, get his number from somebody else, and it's a whole thing. But, you could spend a good lace front, you could spend at least $10,000.
And just for people who don't know, why would you want a lace front?
Because you want that versatility, you want the naturalness of it. It's like the most natural wig ever. Like once you put it on, you could just be
like
sitting with me
machine
and you would
proof,
not, yeah,
if you
yes,
will.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
So when it blows, that's why I think women
it's
don't
lightweight,
understand.
It's lightweight, it moves. People don't realize that
it doesn't
they put
like,
so much weave on sometimes. Realistically, if you were to cut off all your hair, it's not that much.
Yeah.
It's not really that much hair. If you really were to really cut it off and put it in two bundles, it's not that much. People get weaves and extensions. They put so much hair. That's not natural.
Oh, like that's Ariana why Grande, it looks I saw her the other day. I was like, wow. Yeah. That hair is bigger than the... She's a teeny tiny girl. It just doesn't look...
You think it's fake?
Of course it's fake. But
yeah.
I think she's going for that look, though.
I'm like, oh, my God.
No, I think she's going...
Beautiful hair.
But she's going for that. You know what I mean? It depends on what you're going for.
Nobody's ponytail looks like that.
Yes, her ponytail is like a super-sized ponytail. That's her look.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing. You know what I mean? But when you're going for like something natural and you're an actress or you're a celebrity or a musician and you feel like, you know, I'm doing this every day. I can't curl my hair every day. It's going to break off. It's going to fall out. I want something to really replicate what I'm going for. Or if you feel like, you know, like Beyonce, she wears super blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
She has to sometimes switch up between extensions and wigs and stuff because if not, she wouldn't have no hair.
Right.
You know what I mean? She'd be gone. So you want to get something that's going to replicate the naturalness.
Do you ever have to manage expectations for women that come in and think that's natural hair?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Her face is amazing
because it's like
right
people
now.
People show you these amazing pictures of Beyonce with this windblown hair. And it's like, girl, if you want that, you have to walk around with a fan all day. Because Beyonce has a bunch of people in this photo shoot that are making this, you know, come together. It's just not, it's not just that.
And do you think that she, like, probably has, like, $10,000 worth of hair on her head?
I'm sure she has had.
Right.
Maybe not at one time, but I'm sure, She, you
I
know.
I see the hair closet.
She's a big musician, like, and she's invested in her career and her look, so she has to.
Yeah.
That's how you win. A lot of these girls,
how
you win. A lot of girls, when you wear, honey, the more hair you have, the more expensive you look. You walk around with a little thin, little cheap, little weave, no.
Mm.
God, maybe
that's
I need
how you
some
win.
More hair.
Because she's investing herself. A lot of my clients that I work with, they have no problem investing in themselves for their look.
And that's how
they win, though. That's how they win. When you compare to other artists who are, like, penny-pinching and trying to figure it out and do it, no, you could see right through it. Like, you see Rihanna.
It's money to make money.
To invest in yourself. That's one of my things that I always tell people who ask me for advice, whatever, invest in yourself. invest in yourself. Some girls, even with hairstylists, like, they have people in my field that, oh, I don't do that. I wouldn't buy this to bring it. I would spend my money to buy X amount of wigs to bring to my client and show her and invest in that because she will appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about, oh, how I'm going to get my money back. Oh, my God. Because this is my craft. This is my profession.
Don't remember.
If I buy this one wig, that's going to take me everywhere I need to go. If I invest this couple of hundred dollars in this wig,
right,
you know?
How much hair is in your house? And where do you keep it?
Yeah, where is all your stuff?
I should tell you guys.
Like, when you travel.
I'm like, who's your guy?
No, we're not getting that out of her. I know that. But, like, when you travel, obviously, you don't know what you might need to do at any time. Mm-hmm. Like, do you have, like, a room full of hair?
Well, I have a salon, so I keep hair there. Right. You know, I have like, a big oversized suitcase with a bunch of wigs. I have hair in different places. Like, you know, because I have costume wigs that I won't use, like hot pink, blue, that I won't use every day, so I just keep those in storage. Then I have the ones that
keep
I keep
in the storage facility with all the
yeah
stuff.
Well, at the salon we keep it. I keep it in storage, and then I have wigs that are realistic that I'm using more.
Do they always have to be on a head when they're in storage to keep the shape?
No, not okay. Always not always,
because I picture this room of like all these heads with different
that's types. Nice, like that's ideal. If I can get a room and just have heads up like a real wig store, that'll be amazing. Yeah. But you don't have to
in a few years. I see. Yeah, in a few years.
I would really like that.
Well, invest in yourself.
But when I travel, the hair travels with me always. Yeah. Like,
so cool.
All the wigs, the hair, they all, like, all my carry-on, because you don't want to lose that.
And you can style these wigs. Can you, this is a silly question. Mm-hmm. Anyone who has a wig, don't, like, laugh at me for
well,
not knowing
human
this.
Human hair.
But you can wash it, right?
Yes.
Okay, and I know you can style it, right?
Yes.
Now, speaking of styling, when we were at the Unilever trip, like, yeah. 6 months ago or whatever, you did the most amazing waves on me.
Oh, you had a flat iron.
Oh,
waves.
My God. But I think you used a Marcel iron
did
at
I?
Some point. Or maybe you just had it.
But did I do like this?
Yeah,
was a flat iron.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So I totally messed up there. But I know you had a Marcel iron.
I did.
And a lot of people don't have that in their kit.
Not Why anymore. Back then.
Not anymore. Bit.
But you have one. And I was like, that was so weird to me, but like so cool. And I know that you're a fan of them. Why?
Well, I'm going to be very contradictory right now.
Okay.
Because I work with a lot of black girls. Okay. And sometimes these black girls need to really get in the root, because if your hair is really kinky, I may need to use a pressing comb. The flat iron may not be small enough to get at the root of your hair.
So people understand, so, these are without a clamp.
Yes.
You stick it in a...
They're real old school industrial.
They're really cool. Yeah. Google image them.
Metal.
We'll put it on the
Marcel
on the
iron. So I still carry them for numerous reasons. Like I said, I do a lot of African American girls, so I never know what I'm going to walk into. People call Ursula Steven and just know that they don't have to do anything. They're just going to be fine.
You
so I have to
all.
Bring everything. So you never know. I may need to really press someone's hair out, so I have to have that. Then there was one time where my plugins in Europe got burnt out, and thank God I had those, because I just put those right in the fireplace, and it was like,
oh, curl. My God, that's so funny.
Yeah, because the voltage over there.
Yeah. And that was my first trip to it was my first trip to London with Ree for promo years ago, probably 07, 08, something like that.
You
and
just put those like hot, heated up those tongs.
Well, they're tongs. Yes. They're just like metal tongs.
That's so funny.
That's it.
That's so funny.
And it was the last day of the trip, and I went, we had a great trip, breezed through everything. Every you know, venue we went to, every shoot we went to, they had all the things that I needed. And for some reason, that last day at the hotel, I think she was going to dinner or something, and I was going to style her. And I plugged it in and burnt out, and I was like, and obviously, she stays in the best rooms in every hotel we go to. So they have, like, everything, fireplace. And she had a little fireplace. And I literally put the iron on the stove and in the fireplace and curled her hair and finished.
That's hilarious.
You don't have any sort of temperature regulation, but you just know from,
I know.
You know.
Yeah.
Do you ever
have to use a white. You have to use a white towel.
And then you just touch it on there and you'll know
from
the
steam. If it turns
brown
and it's too hot. So usually what you do, wherever you work, you'll put that towel next
we're
to the
so
stove.
We're so spoiled now. Like, back in the 20s and 30s,
Oh,
my God, you could kill yourself.
But that's how you did
it.
It's a
spoiled industry right now.
Right?
Trust me. It is a spoiled
industry.
I bet
it makes for stylists who don't have that skill set that you have because they never had to, like, do it the hard way.
Flat irons, the new age flat irons really make us lazy.
Yeah. But do you like Marcel irons for everybody? Like, cause
no, not for everybody.
Not for
it's
everyone?
Not necessary.
Okay.
It's like the pros really and cons cool. type of thing. You know, like now, it's funny because I have a hairstylist friend and he wants to get back into the game. And he's, you know, a little older than me, maybe almost 50. But, you know, he still does good hair, but he's old school because, you know, he still uses Marcel and things like that. And he's like very anti-flat iron. And I'm like, listen, you have to get with the program. Because you're not going to be able, because the downsides about using the Marcellus, that you always have to keep going back and mm-hmm. heat it up. You got to mm-hmm. keep going back and heat it up. So if you're kind of in that rush, a flat iron will be better for you because you can just keep swiping, swipe. You know what I mean? So it's you just use it when you need it.
Right.
Just
use it. What's your favorite flat iron?
My favorite flat iron is, well, I'm diehard Sadoo. Mm. I love Sadoo. But I just discovered a flat iron by Solano. And they sent it to me a long time ago.
Oh, I think of them for dryers first.
Yes, exactly. And they sent it to me a while ago, and I had it, and I think I must have forgot my Sadoo or whatever, and I had to use it. I was like, oh, my God.
This is ceramic.
It's so good. Yes, it's so good. Do I have it in my bag? No.
I love. If you just pulled a flat iron out.
I know. I just took it out because I just traveled. So, yeah. I traveled my flat iron sometime in this bag, too.
And what are some of your favorite products?
Let's talk about you personally. Yeah. It doesn't even just have to be hair.
My favorite products... Beauty-wise, I love exfoliants. Like, I love any type of scrub for my face and things like that.
Like,
I love
it. I like no scrub.
What are you...
I'm having a taste. I'm sorry. I was just listening to that the other day.
I like exfoliants.
Like, which ones?
I just got a new one by Mario Badescu.
That was the first one I wanted to go
like
to.
Like a kiwi something something. I like that one. I like the Dermalogica. It's called...
Microfoliant.
This is a fun
game. I need her with me at the beauty supply. I buy the same thing all the time. I'm still like, and they're like, wait, describing everything. So that I love that microfoliant. That's nice. A good one that I travel with. It's good.
What about makeup?
Makeup.
There's some mascara on that I see. What is it?
I love CoverGirl mascara. It's my favorite. Super thick lash. Super thick lash.
Really?
In the red. Fave. Like, that's the only one
so
I
use.
So you
like go to the drugstore and buy it?
Yes.
Oh, CoverGirl people. Get on it.
Yeah, I just discovered, I think Ava Mendez is behind it.
Oh, Circa.
Circa. Uh-huh. Who is this girl?
It's my job.
I love Circa.
Yeah.
The coverage is not that great. Like, it's not heavy, but I like because it's light. I love it.
Yeah.
My new discovery. Mm-hmm. But Temp 2 just sent me the airbrush machine. So I'm about to get it.
Oh, and I feel like you're like handy, obviously.
I'm going to
learn. You'd be good at airbrushing.
I'm going to try.
Great. Now, don't get too good because then people, you're going to start doing makeup and you're never going to have
the
time.
The one-woman show.
Yeah.
I can't wait to use it.
It's not for myself.
It's for me. I love Kevin Aucoin. I love his concealers.
Oh, God.
It's like the ultimate wake up. It's like, wake up in the morning, you feel old and scary, and then you like, put it on, you're like, 16, let's go. So I love that. What else do I love? I like the MAC. There's a lipstick primer. I love that thing.
Oh,
it's really good.
What about body?
Body.
This one's a body lotion, like aficionado over here.
I'm very like cocoa butter. I use cocoa butter. Palmer's cocoa butter.
Okay,
it's one of
my
favorites.
Very simple.
Yes, that I love Vaseline. I love those because I'm always like I feel like I'm dry. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
in different climates. You're always doing like hair
and you're
things.
Flying.
Yeah, so I use that. I like Kerry lotion. Those are my go tos.
Kerry
lotion.
Yeah.
Cocoa butter and Vaseline. Those are my favorites.
Okay.
And then I kind of go into like Mederma for like little spots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What about fragrances?
I never tell my fragrance. So the first time I smelled this perfume, I loved it. I was just like, I'm sure like how everybody else feels about it when they smell it.
When you find your one.
Yeah. And mm-hmm.
I'm walking over to smell.
Keep going. So you smelled it.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God. I was like, this scent is driving me crazy. What is this? And then it was like in a pamphlet.
Mm-hmm.
And I end up getting it. Finally, I found it. I got it, and I just loved it because everybody was on it, and I was like, oh my! I just couldn't. One day, I used to shop at Lomans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, R.I.P.
I know,
so sad.
I really did cry when it closed.
Yeah.
I really did. That was like my when I used to work at the salon. That was my Monday ritual.
Yeah,
I used to go to the one in Brooklyn on Sheepshead Bay.
Yeah, right after they got their shipments.
Yes, and I used to go every single Monday to Lomans. And all the Jewish girls, all the Jewish women shop in the back room.
Yeah,
they're all up there. I love shopping with
them.
So I'm shopping and I have the perfume on. And actually, no, I don't think I had it on that day. Another woman had it on.
Oh, and you smelled it.
And I smelled it. And I said to her, are you wearing? And she said, this is the look she gave me. She said, yes. I said, I wear it too. I love it. I said, I thought it was a big secret. She said, it is, and keep it that way.
And then you were like, I'm going to be like this woman,
great
and I'm not.
Story.
That's she told me that.
You're in the club once you're in the
Jewish
club.
Woman. And one day I was
in the
club.
The back room is like too great. I love that.
In the bathroom. It was like, what are you wearing? I smelled you from downstairs. I was like, no, no, no. Can't tell you. And she told me she worked in perfume, blah, blah, blah. She tried to guess. I was like,
you're like,
no.
Shove it.
So it just, so it became, and this is like, I've been wearing this perfume for maybe for maybe 10 years.
If Rihanna asked you, would you tell her?
She asked me. I never told her.
Oh my God.
She asked me. I did not tell her.
You know what?
And she was cursing me. I love that.
Okay, so you know what? If you're not going to tell Riri.
No, I was like,
fat mascara.
Yeah, and I don't really feel so deprived.
I was like, I love you, boo, but that's the one thing you won't get.
Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. Thank you for having me.
That's it. Are we done?
We're done.
We're done. Sure. Over. Yeah.
We're done.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
It's over.
A wand. Yeah. Oh my God.
And that was Miss Bell, our producer. You know what? Deborah Lipman, she never came back to us with the jazz music, so Bell is it. It's time to raise a wand. Shall you go first? You're still giggling.
I shall. Oh my God. I can't handle it. So mine is a fragrance.
Behold, big surprise.
I haven't done a fragrance. Oh, like, I've been all
it's because we were
hair.
Talking about fragrance foundation. I forgot. I thought that was reason one.
But okay. I've been doing hair for the past like few weeks.
I'm excited. What fragrance?
So I am doing You or Someone Like You by, I can never pronounce this brand, so please don't laugh, Etat Libre d'Orange.
I thought that was pretty good.
Really?
Etat Libre.
That's
a very cool brand with a very cool bottle, and they did all the like weird like secretion scents and things like that. Why do you like this fragrance?
Well, this one, I have to give a shout out to the person who created it. It is previous pod guest Chandler Burr, and just like general perfume genius.
And still one of my faves on the podcast.
His episode is definitely in my top five.
It's an early one. I think it's like
four.
I think it's four
or something.
Go have a listen.
He's so funny and he's so great. He's so smart. He's the best fragrance writer I've ever met. So this is you. It's called You or Someone Like You. It's for men. It's for women. It's for all people, all kinds. It's a light citrus, a little musky. It's based on his novel, which just gives it a little extra air of romance and intrigue. You or Someone Like You, the name, the whole thing gets me. But I also love that it comes in a rollerball. I just have to add that because this is a very expensive line and it's available at Sephora. I am noticing this trend of fragrances, like hoity-toity fragrances, doing rollerballs now, which I really love, making it more accessible.
And you just brought me some Diptyque?
Yes, I just brought Jen some Diptyque rollerballs.
Smelled this. It's like fresh air in LA, but not like stinky, smoggy air.
Not exactly.
Like breeze.
But there's also, there's a dryness to it. Like a dry.
Like a powdery desert dryness.
Yes, dry, powdery sunshine. Bam, we've done it.
That I can't even say anything better. That's exactly
what
it is.
What is yours?
Well, it's not going to be that evocative and poetic, God damn it.
I know Chandler is probably shaking his head being like, that's not it. Because Chandler can turn out a description like
no one's
business.
You described it really well. It's lovely. Okay, so I was in Spain visiting one of my many gay ex-boyfriends. I have a couple. Anyway, so in his bathroom, I got a little bit sun. I had SPF 50 on. I'm sorry. But, you know.
A little bit of sun.
The Persian in me
bronze
wants to.
Bronze beauty
yeah,
over here.
He wants to be brown. So he's like, oh, try my Le Petit Marseille. And I said, oh my gosh, I know this line. They just launched in the U.S.
So oh,
it's a
yeah,
very famous
yeah.
French shower gel line. But they also do body lotions.
Oh, cool.
And I
I've
remember
never seen this.
When they launched in the U.S., maybe they just launched like a month ago. I smelled them all and I was like, oh, they're all too fruity and scented. It was just too much scent. But I still have to get back on the body lotion bandwagon because you've told me I should.
Take care
so
of the body.
He had one that was called, in French or Spanish or whatever, it was Hydratante Reparation, which was hilarious because I kept calling it like my reparations lotion, which is completely politically incorrect, whatever. But it's a repairing, hydrating lotion. So I looked it up in the U.S. It's just called the shea butter, aloe, and beeswax version. So they have peach and apple,
sounds
whatever.
Very hydrating.
I'm not about that. I was about this one. Shea butter, aloe, and beeswax. The scent is like just like cotton and like soft, not too cocoa buttery. Mm. And so my skin was dry because I got too much sun and it reparationed me.
But I, you know, you did look, I saw you when I got out of the taxi cab and you're in this like white, like, I don't know what this is, this outfit. But
trapeze?
It's one of these
How
chic.
Did you say that word? Trapeze?
Trapeze.
It's a trapeze. Trapeze.
You look very chic and yeah, summer in New York.
And
I did think you looked
look
good
and glistening and hydratante.
You look very hydratante.
Nice. So yes. Raise a wand, people.
Raise a wand.
We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter. At Fat Mascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next week.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.